is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Good news. We're joined by Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The headline, Pacific leaders welcome signing of U.S. security deal. Subhead, the 20-year deal provides three Pacific nations with a total of $7.1 billion in funding. Cleo, a very good day to you, and congratulations to all who worked on this. It made it dramatic towards the end there when it wasn't clear when and how Congress would approve of this package. The three island states in question, the Marshalls, the Micronesia, and Palau. What does this mean for them immediately, Cleo? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It means that they can dig themselves out of this the budget crunch that was hurting the people of the islands and also opening them up to predatory political warfare by the PRC. These deals, in the case of two of the countries, actually expired at the end of the U.S. financial year, so September 30th. And in the case of the third one, the funding had dwindled to practically nothing. So they were on economic life support in some of the sectors. And so this gives them a little bit of breathing room now.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, the money is there now. Is China going to still make the argument that the U.S. is unreliable because it took so long in order to get the money to the islands? Or will this be something that will be forgotten as time progresses?
I think it depends a lot on implementation and on timing. So in the case of one of the three, Palau, they're heading into elections in November. So they've had time to get that narrative into the political bloodstream, so to speak, hoping that once the money does start to flow. I mean, they were in a situation where they were needing to cut pensions and put taxes on water and sewage and things like that. So it won't immediately disappear, and Palau has been in this situation before. But the new compact agreement provides for a lot of things that were really needed. So, for example, they'll be able to study in the U.S. at universities at the rates of local students from those individual states. Very importantly, veterans of the U.S. military, and they serve in the U.S. military at very high rates, will be able to get the services health services that they require in their countries, or be brought to probably Hawaii for treatment. So the benefits will start to become evident, but the PRC doesn't care, of course, about truth. They just care about putting across their message. So if this doesn't work now, they'll find something else that they think might work next.
Cleo, the casinos were always part of the story. Casinos are growing their influence in the whole of the Pacific, not just on the islands. Do they change their plans now with this money guaranteed?
No, so the casinos, correct, are always part of the picture. I remember being at a meeting between Tongan government officials and some PRC semi-official representatives in London, probably about 10 years ago, and the Tongans were talking about investment. And the first question was, can we open a casino in Tonga? So it's always front and center. In the case of these three countries, there are no casinos, but the crime, the organized crime that's linked to it, filters into them. So there was a murder in Palau in December where there were four Chinese nationals were arrested for murdering another Chinese national who was running a boat, possibly linked to organized crime. And one of the four who was arrested was carrying Commonwealth of Northern Mariana, which is part of the United States, which is where the big casino was, ID card. So it doesn't stay contained to the countries or locations. The organized crime, which acts as a shock troop for PRC political warfare, can just spread across the region, fueled by that kind of money. And the casinos just act, at least in part, as nodal money laundering operations.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Cleo, essentially, casinos are what? Corruption, money laundering, basis for intelligence, all the above?
All of the above. And I suspect possibly the casino in Saipan, which again is part of the United States of America, so should be under the purview of FBI, Treasury, all of that, at one point was running more money than the casinos in Macau. I mean, billions of dollars in a part of the United States that has about 50,000 people living there. And the way it seemed to work was the Chinese were, and Chinese can arrive in CNMI without a visa. So they were flying in from China with like a $10 million line of credit. And the way it was supposed to work, allegedly, was $10 million was getting transferred out of China and then into a corresponding bank in Saipan, which had very little oversight. And then they would pick up their $10 million chips and then go gamble with them. I'm not sure that money ever left China. And whether it was just a way of laundering organized crime money. I mean, it would need an investigation to see whether or not it was linked to, you know, fentanyl sales or whatever money laundering they wanted to do. Because once it passed through that casino, which was in the United States of America, it was legal money. So that, you know, the use of the weak oversight in these islands is a huge boon to Chinese operations. And if that's what's happening in the United States, then you can only imagine what they're trying to get away with in other Pacific Island locations where there's even less oversight. And this isn't a place where the American governor of CNMI has testified before Congress, has asked the federal government to come in and clean up his system.
These are stepping stones. Hawaii, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Palau, the Philippines, Japan, Taiwan, in the event of war. These three states under the security of the United States must be maintained. Palau. Cleo, my memory is Palau was being bribed with promises of tourism. Is that now going to dry up?
I doubt it. The tourism in large part had to do... this happened once before when Congress was messing around with funding between about 2010 and 2016. The Chinese bumped up the tourism from about 1% of the tourists going to over 50%. And then they pulled them all out because Palau is one of the countries that recognizes Taiwan. And they were explicitly saying, unless you de-recognize Taiwan and put in a Chinese embassy, which acts as a Chinese forward operation base for spying and influence operations, then the tourists aren't coming back. And the Palauans stood strong, and then COVID hit and other things happened. But now they're coming back. And over the last few months, they've started having daily flights from Macau into Palau. And those are not the sort of tourists you want, really. And again, this is a country that's heading into an election in November. The population of Palau is under 20,000. So they're trying to re-addict the country to Chinese money and to have people on the ground that can run those influence operations leading up to the election.
Cleo Pascal, at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, success for now. Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Palau. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.